for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. I want to talk about taking the cross for granted. Taking the cross for granted. One writer says this about the crucifixion. The crucifixion was one of the most horrifying ways of execution that man has ever invented. It was thought to be so horrible a means of death that by law, Roman citizens should be executed or could be executed by hanging on a cross only under exceptional circumstances. Well, not only did the one executed die a slow, agonizing death, but the condemned person was humiliated beyond anything we might imagine. Stripped naked, they would hang suspended between earth and heaven, fighting for days to draw one more breath as gravity inexorably exerted its power over their pinioned body. The Romans had become experts in extending life for those affixed to a cross, ensuring that they experienced the most painful death imaginable. Those witnessing these executions would hear the gasp and the groans of the condemned individuals as they struggled to draw one more breath. The torture that dying criminals endured made an indelible impression on those thinking of rebellion, dissuading them from attempting to overthrow Roman rule. So the cross is not just a so-called Jesus piece. The cross is not something to casually throw around your neck.
Come on now.
The cross is not something to hang a picture on a wall with Jesus still nailed to it.
Come on now.
The cross is not a place for fantasy or fiction. The cross was a place of horror. That someone endured, usually for their own crimes. And so sometimes it may be befitting for that one that's on the cross. But here is an occasion where the one on the cross had done no wrong. Not only did he not do any wrong, but he was the worst case of the cross ever recorded in history.
Come on, Reverend.
And even though he didn't suffer for days as some die a slow and agonizing death, what they put him through
come on.
Didn't allow it to linger on.
Yeah.
No one had been whipped quite as bad. No one had been mocked more than Jesus. No one had their bones visible. No one had their flesh hanging off their skin. Almost like someone took a grate and just grated it down his back where flesh was hanging off from the shrapnel that they twist and tore when they ripped it from his back. The Bible says that he was unrecognizable. That means that the Jesus they knew, if you did not tell somebody who was hanging on the cross, they would not have known who it was. Taking the cross for granted. I realize that we have busy lives. That's what our schedule says. That's what it dictates. That's what it mandates. You mandate on your schedule all the things that you have to do. That's why you have calendars and you have day planners and things of that nature, and you like to carefully, meticulously put down the order of things that you will do in a day. But how many of us set aside some time for Jesus? I asked the question in Bible study, you know, to the few that were there. Because everybody knows enough. But they don't have to attend or show up because they got this thing figured out. But for the few that were there who were able to hear the words that were spoken, the question I asked was, what do you expect when you die?
Well,
I mean, you say and you profess one thing. You say, I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. I'm looking forward to eternity in heaven. But yet you don't live like it.
Well,
we don't walk the walk.
Well,
and we don't talk the talk.
Come on, Doc.
So that means that we really don't have an idea of what death will be like.
Come on, Reverend.
Because if you can sit there and simply say that I know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and still do the things that you do while you're on this side, you really can't believe what you're saying.
Come on now.
I can go out drinking with my buddies, even though I profess Jesus as my Savior. They say it's all right because Jesus understands. You look through the Bible, Noah was toe up. I'm going to find anything I can to justify why I do what I do. Now, the Bible says to remain sober. So in all actuality, there's nothing wrong with a beer or a glass of wine.
Well,
if the Bible says remain sober, one should not take you over the top.
Well,
the problem is that when you begin to sit down with your friends and begin to partake of the festivities, you find yourself going beyond sobriety.
Come on, Reverend.
Not only that, you damage your testimony.
See,
there are some folks who were saved and have come out of drinking and they don't drink anymore. And if you were to sit there and drink in front of them and offer them a drink, you become a crutch to them who used to be an alcoholic. But you say, well, ain't nothing wrong with that. Well, it is something wrong if that was an issue. There is something wrong if you find yourself sneaking behind closed doors or in closed groups drinking. You're taking the cross for granted. The Bible says that all these old things should pass away and I'll become a new creature. Am I right? We find ourselves compromising everything we do. And the Bible says that it is through Christ, by faith, that he lives inside of us. So therefore, we have to allow him to work on the inside. Because in all actuality, Jesus physically, his physical presence is not here. His spiritual presence is what resides in you. So unless Jesus himself popped into your life and put you completely outside. But that would not be him. This is a walk on what? Faith. So when you take on this so-called Savior of yours and you let him into your life, do you give him just a portion of your life? Or do you give him everything? To give him everything means that he is in control. So when you find that bargain on the side of the road, And you know this stuff is hot. Because the price is too right. When you see that first run movie on DVD while you at the barber shop or the beauty salon, they're selling that fresh CD that's just been released. Something inside of you, if Christ has taken over, should tell you, even though I realize it seemed like a good deal, and nobody really cares about this stuff, then you are taking the cross for granted, because God died for what? Our sins. To partake of something that you know is illegal and justified by its price means you don't know who the Savior is. Taking the cross for granted. Listen, but if I build up again the very things that I once tore down, then I demonstrate that I am a transgressor. So if I'm going to engage and indulge in the very stuff that I came out of, only to hide behind the cloth of Christianity, no wonder we not that packed. No wonder folks are saying stay away from them Christian people, because they are double-minded hypocrites. They say one thing, but they do something else. Christ did not die for us to be double-minded. He died for a reason, but the problem is that we don't understand what happened on the cross. We can't understand it. We can't know it, because if we knew it, if we understood it, and if we believed it, we'd be living better lives. For though the law, for through the law I died to the law. The law was condemning from day one. Nobody could handle the law. No matter how hard you try, no matter how many lambs they killed, no matter how much incense was offered up, the priest stayed before God. And God realized that they need more than a temporary fix. I got a brother sending $10 who's in jail, and I can't get one out of some folks who are right here saying, well, I don't have enough. You don't have to tell me what you don't have. God knows exactly what you have. So you can't fool God. You can tell me whatever you want. But ultimately, it's God. So if you don't have enough for God, you don't understand what happened on the cross. Rev, I like this young man. He has a good job, treats me right, does everything a woman could ever ask. But he don't go to church. But I love him anyway. And I want to get married. My sister, you don't understand the cross. You don't understand what took place on your behalf. Because in essence, what you're saying is, I love the Lord, but I love him more. No, Red, that ain't what I'm saying. No. Listen to yourself. Come on. The Bible says not to be unevenly yoked. And that means that the reason why he died on the cross was for your success and not your failure. So if you go against the successful road that he has laid out for you, then you are going down a road of failure.
Help me now.
I'm tired of being by myself, though.
Well,
how much have you followed his way? How much have you indulged in understanding who the Savior really is? Because if he can make the waves play dead. If he can stop the wind from blowing. If he can part the seas so much that an entire congregation can roll through on dry land. If he can raise a dead child up from the grave. If he can change a blind man from birth with just spit and dirt. Surely he can send you a man. Doc, she looking good. She got some mighty fine attributes from God. I know it seems like she don't mean me no good. But if I talk to her long enough, maybe I can introduce her to Jesus. But in the meantime, Lord, I just want to hang out with her for a little bit. Because I got some needs that need to be met. And she seems to fit the bill. I know that she ain't talking nothing about the Lord. She always want to go to the club. She always want to do this and do that. I don't mind because every now and then she going to break me off some. My brother. You don't understand the cross. The Bible says the man that finds a wife. So you're going to have to begin to define what a wife is. And according to biblical proportions, it ain't the one you with. And you say to yourself, well, it's okay because I can handle this situation. But what you are saying is, I don't trust God enough. And I'm here for the right now. So as long as my flesh is under pleasure right now, I'm not worried about the raking she's going to take me through a couple of years down the road.
Well, help me now. Help me.
I go to work. They don't appreciate what I do. And so when it comes time to doing 100% of what I'm supposed to do, I'm not going to do it because they don't appreciate me. But when you say that, you don't understand the cross. Because even though sometimes they can't see you, God is always watching. He sent his child in because you got to represent to the fullest if you believe that when you die, you're going to be with him. Because ultimately, when you get there, you're going to have the answer for all you've done. And if I was Jesus, I would say, who in the world was you really serving? You tell me, and I heard your lip service, because we got a lot of lip service in church. Anytime you can walk in the doors and ain't no ushers here on point early ahead of time, ain't no deacons, ain't no deaconess, and folks are not where they're supposed to be inside of God's house. Even though this is a volunteer organization, it is beyond volunteerism because it's your faith and your belief. You get up not for me, you get up for God and make sure that wherever I am, I'm on God's post at the appointed time. I got choir members. Could be 50 deep. But everybody has a different agenda. Everybody's got a different schedule. Everybody has some things going on in their lives right now. Taking the cross for granted. Maybe we need a paper in our rooms. On our mirrors, talking about how stupid we are, in order to get us to do what we have to do. Now, our biggest problem is us. We fight against ourselves. I fight against procrastination, being lazy, not wanting to do these things. I say, God, often, God, why in the world would you call me?
Yeah.
But God knows something that I don't know.
Come on now. Come on now. Help me.
Because he designed me and created me for who I am. The problem is, my problem is stepping into the fullness of what he has for me because of laziness. So if I can remember now, if I'm walking in faith and now I have Christ living inside of me by faith, then I have to begin to operate like he's in me. I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. So when I accepted him, I died with him. The only problem is I never felt the death. Because had I felt the death, I would be more righteous than I'm supposed to be right now. But remember, it's up to our minds to make a decision to follow God. Our heart will lead us, but our mind makes the decision. So if I don't fully understand the pain, then that's why I got a problem doing what I'm supposed to do for God. But every now and then, God will let you feel a little bit of what he experienced. When pain gets so hard, you can't do nothing but fall to your knees. When pain gets so hard, you can't do nothing but to cry out for Jesus. See, the problem is we ain't experienced pain. Now, the closest thing that some of us get is a loved one dies. And there's two ways to process that. One, I'm mad at God. Two, I need to get busy for God. It all depends on how you process what has just happened in your life. Is it going to be easy? No. Anything worth having has never been easy.
Come on, God.
But if I begin to remind myself of what takes place on the cross for my behalf, because remember, if you're going to walk with Christ, you're going to have to personalize this thing.
Come on now.
You can't just make it all inclusive to everybody when you're dealing with just your life. You're going to have to personalize what happened on the cross. Lord, I want to live a better life. Understand what I did on the cross for you. Let me ask you this. How many could handle what took place on the cross? Let me help you out. The first time they raised the whip in the air with the metal shrapnels on it, I would have caved before it even touched my back. I remember when my father used to whoop me. When the belt went up, the tears went out, and the belt had never touched. The reason why I cried, because I figured if he heard me hollering loud enough, he might stop. Maybe the pain might not be as bad because he'd feel a little pity, a little sorrow for me. But these cats kept beating Jesus no matter what the situation was. But you should have been there. I should have been there. Not him. And so when we live as we please, as we want to, without regards to what he thinks or he feels, then we are taking the cross for granted. How in the world can other religions who don't even identify with the cross have more attendees than those that belong to God? How in the world can somebody serving a fictitious God strap a bomb to themselves, walk into a crowded area, and pull the trigger. They don't even take part in the cross. No one has died. And see, the thing about it is that here we come to the death part. Because now they realize the moment they pull that trigger, that there ain't no 40 virgins waiting on them. But we have a place. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may also be. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it wasn't that way, I wouldn't have told you. So there's a promise that's waiting for us. The problem is, we're not waiting for the promise. And we don't act like we're waiting for the promise. We act like we're going to be there no matter what. No matter what I do, I'm already justified because Christ died on the cross for all my sins, past, present, and future. So I'm going to act like a fool because I've already been committed to where I want to go. Paul said, no. Because you realize this does not mean you act crazy, but now you need to justify or come back together with yourself and understand the real reason for why you're here. My thing is, I should be searching or seeking out the purpose for why God has placed me here. And the church is here to give life. Instead, lately, it's been taking lives. See, the church ain't taking no life. If you ain't went out and told somebody about a risen Savior and they die, you have taken a life because you didn't do the ultimate charge to make disciple of all nations. And the only reason why you won't go out there and do what you got to do is because you don't understand what took place on the cross. Now, we can say it as much as we want every Sunday that he hung high and stretched them wide, nails in his hands and nails in his feet, went down to the grave, and early on Sunday morning he got up with all power. But if that don't permeate in his brain, then I ain't really saying much. If it don't cause you to action, if it don't get you to move, if it don't just make you stir inside, y'all was hearing a song, "Open the windows of heaven and let it rain." You got to even understand what that song is talking about, because if you really get down into the thick of it, Lord, I really don't want no rain.
Come on now.
That's what you're saying.
Come on.
Because see, when the rain comes and the thunderstorms come, they clear out the mess that's in your life. And when the water washes away, all you got left is the purity.
Come on now.
So if you can't take the moment to understand even why it's raining in your life, there's no way you're going to be able to understand what happens when the rain is gone and the sun comes back out. You just think, oh, it was just a wet day.
Come on, Reverend.
And that's not why Christ died on the cross. You have a pity party if you want. You can say, I'm just, and I'm that, and I'm no good, and I'm that, and I'll never be this, or I'll never be that, and God really don't want me. You're lying to yourself. One of Satan's attacks. We talked about that on Bible study for the little that were there. Satan's attacks tell you what you can't do, what you're too strong or too little or too weak to do, how much you need to give or how much you don't need to give. How much time you need to give to God and how much time you don't need to God. After all, God sees everything, so you don't need to give him that much, right? Yeah, you're right, Satan. That's what you're saying. I ain't said it out of my mouth, Rev. You ain't got to say it out your mouth. Your actions indicate your worship. You ever been somewhere and somebody said, I didn't know you was a Christian? You should have shot yourself in the foot right there.
Yeah.
Because if you can't tell a Christian, and you have to say you're a Christian, then are you really a Christian? Have you really accepted Christ? Or are you just down with the homies? You know, you everywhere you don't need to be. And every now and then you try to represent for the Lord. You don't understand the cross. Because let me tell you this. As he hung on the cross and his blood was streaming, not drip drops, blood was pouring out of his body. The ground began to shake because the ground didn't want to hold the Savior's blood. The sun refused to shine because two suns can't shine at the same time. The clouds rolled in. Darkness was everywhere. But as painful as that moment was, the sun came back out. The clouds rolled away, and the earth settled down. You know why? Because God is on the throne. And for that moment in time, he took the punishment for all of our sins. And so the next time you want to take a drink with the boys, remember the blood trickling on the cross. The next time you want to engage in fornication, remember the flesh that was hanging off his body. The next time you want to take 30 minutes on a 15-minute break, remember the crown of thorns that was pressed in his head. The next time you want to date somebody outside of the church, remember the spear that was pierced in his side. The next time you want to let your children do whatever they want to do because you want to be their friends, remember how we hung on the cross and died for your sins. Whatever your poison is, whatever it is that you do, smoke, drink, drugs, whatever, before you indulge, let your mind drift back to the cross and understand how much of a price was paid for you to be where you are. And for you to be able to say that I've been saved and sanctified by one who paid an awesome price for somebody like me. So you're going to have to ask yourself every morning when you wake up, is this a day that I take the cross for granted? Or is this the day that I represent Jesus in the fullest? The doors of the church are open this morning.